What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Santa joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
In the Boston Jail. That's Boston Jail by Porter Wagner. Sending that out to the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, that was no fun. We really needed Indiana to win game one. I hate to say this.
Yep.
And so here we are, and I don't know. Like, is it over? We'll see. Certainly the injury.
It's over.
Certainly,
it's
I
over.
Think it's over, and the injury does not help. But we have one great series still continuing. So I'm going to move right along to other matters. How do you feel about Dave Yeager as the next coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I think Dave Yeager, it'd be funny, you know, one former Grizzly to another. I have always thought highly of Dave Yeager as a coach. I mean, he's had... His issues have not been X's and O's issues to the degree that he's had issues. You know, it's been more relationship stuff or whatever. But I think he's acquitted himself well as a basketball coach whenever he's been a basketball coach. And so if I had a basketball team, I would consider Dave Yeager to be my head coach.
So Dave Yeager, obviously, I mean, I thought he did a good job in Memphis. Well, obviously.
I think he did a good job in Sacramento.
I was going to ask you about that. And so he did a good job in Memphis. He obviously had, like, literally, they were... He was taking shots at the front office, you know, public shots at the front office. What were they mostly about? There was the Rodney Hood draft pick, right? That was one.
Rodney Hood was the thing, and that was just kind of dumb. I mean, did they miss on the draft pick? Yeah. In retrospect, if you redrafted it, would Rodney Hood have even been the right pick? Probably not. Probably not. You know. And so, like, whatever. But yeah, there was like some personality clash stuff. It was sort of bad timing because it was in the midst of a lot of messiness beyond just the paper messiness, you know? And so there was quite all this stuff going on. It was in the middle of all the, like, Levy and stuff and Levy now, and all of that was happening at the same time.
So did Dave Yeager start under Heisley and then continue this coach under
he started his coach under Levy and then continued his coach under Chris Wallace. It was that. So Parra comes in, Lionel Hollins is the head coach, Parra takes over the team, Levy takes over the front office, at the end of the season, they go to the conference finals. They don't fire him, but they don't
renew
his contract. His contract was up, they let him go. And then they elevated Dave Yeager after they sort of pretended to have a coaching search and they interviewed George Karl and all this. Dave Yeager, who they were always going to hire. And so Yeager's the head coach, and then Levian gets bounced, and now Yeager's the head coach underneath a front office that didn't hire him,
right?
And you go from there. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Sacramento, what was his story in Sacramento? What do you recall of that
story? Well, I, if you'd give me a heads up about we were talking about Dave Yeager, I would have refreshed my memory, but I don't.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have instant recall on all the Dave Yeager stuff, except that he was coaching in Sacramento and giving the ownership issues there. And was he the head coach when they decided to take Marvin Bagley, maybe, like, you know, instead of taking somebody good? I don't remember whether he was still there at that point. But I think my general memory is he acquitted himself well.
Right.
Their on-court performance did not fall short of their talent.
Okay, so there's that opening. And then do you have any, like, I haven't asked you about the Lakers opening because I don't know. Like, how would one possibly know if...
I just hope they do something as silly as possible. That's what I'm rooting for with the Lakers. And so what can I mock Bob Mayer in the text thread on the most? That is what I root for.
Would you
Lakers.
Mock him on JJ Redick? Would you mock
him? Yes. Yes, I like JJ Redick, but come on. I mean, J.J. Redick has never, I mean.
But they do that all the time in the league. They do that with Jason Kidd got a job before he'd never, Nash got a job. And, it's the Larry Bird got a, this is what they do.
J.J. Redick is not those three people. Which is not to say he won't be a better coach than those three people.
Right.
But, you got two all-time great point guards. And then you got, one of the best players in basketball history. And you got J.J. Redick, who's, good on television. And so, who knows? Would he be a good coach? Maybe. But, it seems a little silly to me.
It's kind of remarkable that in the NBA, they don't do this. This would never happen in the NFL, that you go from being a great player to without being an assistant or whatever. Tom Brady could own a team or he could be GM of a team. That happened in San Francisco, didn't it? What's his name? The safety.
John Lynch was
John
not.
Lynch.
Was not. He went from television to the
right.
front office.
So you can in the front. But no one goes from coaching, from being a great player to being a coach. In the NBA, it seems to be acceptable. You don't have to serve any kind of apprenticeship in terms of.
I mean, it happens, but it's not like people don't raise an eyebrow when it happens,
right?
I don't think it's common practice. It's something that happens from time to time, and people go, "Okay, we'll see how that works."
Yeah,
there is skepticism about that approach.
All right, so we'll root for something silly.
It's just to everything that we've just discussed. Also these people that go from media, Kerr goes from TV to coach. But Kerr wasn't hosting a radio show with Steph Curry.
Right.
JJ's hosting
the weirdness of
with
it,
your
with
best
that's
player.
That's true, right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I listened to the pod yesterday with Drew Hill on the draft, and I would urge people to listen to it. It got me through a run plus more, and so that was good. And you identified the top. You each identified your top eight players, and I think the way you phrased it was for the Grizzlies.
Subject to some tweaking when I do a written version. It might change a little bit, but yeah.
And I'll be honest, one of the things that struck me listening to it was Jeffrey already guessed. I said, who are the two players Chris Harrington really likes? And he nailed it. Stephon Castle.
Really he's doing some work in that sentence, but yeah. But
okay, really, that he likes in the context of this draft class.
Right,
in the
right,
context
right.
of this draft class. Who does he really like in the context of this draft class? And he nailed it. Stephon Castle and Reed Sheppard are the two. I'll be honest. One of the things I came away.
Just so listeners know, we as part of the thing, we set Alexander Sarr aside. We stipulated he's not on the board at 9.
Sarr was the one player who was off the board.
Right.
And then you were pretty clear that you were doing it with the idea that, this is for the Grizzlies, and in particular, you care about the next 2 years, right? You wanted someone.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, there are really only 5 players I'm all that interested in, and if they're all 5 gone, I'm looking hard at trading. Yeah.
Right. So I'm forgetting right now who the 5 are, but what was interesting to me was I came away a little depressed because the players that collectively, the two of you, and there was more overlap, given that you'd never discussed it in advance, more overlap
I
than I had imagined. The players who you identified, who you liked, and who Drew liked, I just don't think any of them are going to be there. Here's the ones that, so I don't think Sarr's clearly not going to be there, right? I think we agree on that.
Yep.
But then I think the likelihood is that Reed Sheppard's gone, that Castle's gone, that Klingon's gone, and that Risa Shea are gone. I would bet a fair amount of money that they're all gone.
Yeah, I think in each individual case, it was likely they're gone collectively. It's probably still likely all 5 are gone, but your odds increase and maybe one of them, slips through, Castle or Sheppard, more likely than the other 3. But yeah, I agree.
And so then you're left with a bunch of players who, honestly, the biggest name, I guess, who I think might be there when the Grizzlies are there, and I don't think he was on your list at all. He was on Drew's list low, is Ron Holland.
No, he was on both of our lists.
He was
higher
on
mine.
He was higher on yours. Where do you have him? 6, something like that. Where do you have him? I forget.
Yeah, he was. Well, he was one of my 5.
Oh, that's right. Because you like his defense.
because we set Sarr aside.
Right. That's
and
right.
And so, yeah. So now that's the guy, you know, that's, you know, if it sets up the way people think it's going to set up, that's the guy it would take. But, like, I'm not doing cartwheels about it. Like, I'm still, right. I hope they are aggressive. And but when I say that, I don't think it's a necessity to make some kind of trade. It's a necessity just to do whatever the best thing is for you to do. But I'd be looking hard at other options other than just sitting there at 9 and taking the pick.
Right.
And that includes, by the way, incorporating future draft assets to make moves.
And does that mean for a live, breathing, current NBA player you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about putting my 2025 pick on the table to try to go get Jared Allen or trying to go get, you know, make another bid for Mikal Bridges, which is not going to happen. Or I would be interested in doing the same thing they did last summer, which is when they used their current pick and a future pick and some contract stuff that went out and got Marcus Smart. I'd be trying to do something like that again for somebody else.
This time for a big.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah, this time more than likely for a big. There were, by the way, so Jared McCain didn't make either list, and not only that, he didn't even make a mention. Like, Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah, he probably got a mention. We were running out of time late. Filipowski was on my list.
Right, he was on your list.
We were running out of time late, and so I didn't do a lot of, like, Drew did some of his honorable mentions. I didn't really mention any of mine, but McCain was someone I looked at. He would have been just outside my list somewhere. I just worry he's a little too one-dimensional, where someone like Shepard, I think, has similar shooting ability, similar size, but can do a little bit more.
Yeah, it's interesting. What do you, and we may do, because as you pointed out the other day, we got 5 weeks to the draft. I may, yep. Chris, actually engage in some revolutionary, this is going to be revolutionary, some pre-segment planning, and yes. We may talk about a player a day going.
You have my number.
Going forward, because it may, we got things that, anyway, so, but one of the things that intrigued me was this whole discussion, and Drew wrote about it with Stephon Castle, that he evidently has said that he doesn't want to go somewhere where there is a current, you know, incumbent star point guard, basically, that he thinks of himself as a point guard, and that's his preference to go somewhere. And as someone who had him, as you had him as number one on your list,
yep.
What do you do with that?
Well, what you do with it when you're the team is investigate it more and have a better feel for it than we have on, you know, media comments is what you do.
Right.
And you poke it, you poke at that, and you test how hard that is, how hard that sentiment is. I think he's someone who wants to win. I mean, you saw him fit into that. I know he's right. Like, I sacrificed for UConn. Now I want to do whatever. If he goes somewhere to be the starting point guard next season, they're going to win like 20 games. Do you want to win? Like, you'll get time on the ball. You're coming to a team where people are talking about Scottie Pippen Jr. as a two-way player getting a lot of point guard minutes. So, like, you're not going to be the starting point guard because it's Simon Shaw Morant. But, like, there's opportunity for you to play on the ball, to play off the ball, and to step right into the rotation of a team that can win big. Like, let's go, you know?
Glancingly, Drew mentioned the prospect of him going to San Antonio. And I have to say, that made a lot of sense to me. Like, that's a place you could go, and I'm not sure they're ready to win, but if you start with Stephon Castle guarding on the ball and Wembanyama, like, that's pretty formidable.
I think my fear, and it's like these guys may be great, by the way. Maybe I haven't taken them seriously enough.
Right.
But the two guys I have not really considered because I just don't like the fit for the Grizzlies are Rob Dillingham and Nikola Topic.
Yeah.
I think those are the guys most likely to slip of the guys who have been projected in the top eight.
Right.
Like, if one of them squirts out, it's probably one of those two guys.
I agree.
What do you do if you're the Grizzlies, you know, because I don't think they're good fits.
Yeah, that's interesting. Those two are likely to slip for one reason or another. Honestly, defensive reasons mostly. Like, Dillingham doesn't guard, and Topic, is that how you pronounce it? Have you figured that out?
Usually those names have the chuff sound at the end, right?
And he's sort of lead-footed a little bit, and you just don't need him. He's not a fit at all for the Grizzlies. All right, why do you like Stephon Castle? Why was he your number one?
I just think no one in this draft is safe. To be good. But I feel like from what I've seen, he's the safest to be good. I think there's a relatively high floor with him to be a quality NBA player because I think he's going to be able to be a quality defender at multiple positions. he can handle, he can pass, he can drive, he can cut off the ball. He just has a good feel for the game. The only question about him is really the shooting. And to me, the shooting question isn't a can you shoot enough to be good. It's can you shoot enough to be more than good. I think he does so many other things. He can be a good player. Because I think the shooting, the worst case scenario of the shooting is not that, like, you know, he can't make a shot. It's that he's Marcus Smart. You know, to me, like, he could very easily just be Marcus Smart, be somebody like that, who's like, you know, by the way, been a starter, a rotation player on, like, successful playoff teams for 10 years. So I just think the path for him to just being a good, productive rotation player is shorter than maybe any other guy in the draft.
All right. Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.